Hey, this is Deanna from Sincere Engineer, and you're listening to the Hood Rat Recap Podcast.
Bored. So we started a podcast about the best bar band in the land, man. This is the Hood Rat Recap, and we are finally back. It's your steady stream of the unified scene, all the news and reviews of the band that you love, we love, and they just did three shows for DC, but according to my calculations, they've never done a show for Marvel. Okay, everybody, this is Stage Right Mike on the mic. And I can talk hold steady all night. And when I like to talk hold steady heavy, I throw up the rat signal. And just like that, the Hood Rat Pack has assembled. And hark, that can only be the Unified Scene's very own King of Queens, Gasper. Gasper, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Mike. But you know what? I've been trying to get people to call me Evil Knievel.
Why? Why is that, Gasper?
Because I'm a man on a mission. Evil Knievel, man on a
mission, made a rocket ship for us. How's that working out for you, Gasper?
Not too good, man. People keep calling me Super Dave Osborne.
Sonny, help me. I have to go to a hospital. I shouldn't have done this.
Oh, God. How many people are going to get that reference?
I don't know. Not my best one. Definitely
not. Enthusiasm, maybe.
I mean, it's not even memorable. And on top of it, I wish I was Evil Knievel and crashed and broke all the bones in my body so I don't have to listen to this shit again.
God. That's the sound of our third mic and our producer, Kevin Is Whenever. How you doing, Kevin?
I mean, I'm good, but I really wish I fell off a motorcycle after that. I mean, no one's going to know that. And unless you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, which I don't even watch, but I at least got the reference. I apologize to all our listeners. I hope everybody's doing well out there. It's been a minute since we all got together, and I feel like the whole steady's been firing on all cylinders while we've been sitting on our ass for the summer. I know you guys all got to go to shows that I was too busy to make any of them, but you guys were seeing the band in all their glory, as a lot of our listeners were.
Well, that's the thing, man. To make this podcast, like, you got to go see the band. So we've been enjoying what they are calling constructive summer. So we got a lot to talk about, actually. Mike and I both went to a bunch of shows, and we have some fan input from shows that they were at. And if you guys are ready, I say let's jump into it.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's do it.
So we're starting with Seattle, right? I think one of our listeners, Josh, sent some.
Right. So recap? Actually, before we get into Seattle, Constructive Summer actually started off in Toronto, which we had someone cover for us. I believe it was last episode. It was Andrew, right? And we kind of
And I messed up. I owe Andrew an apology. I listened to the previous episode. Not 2 years ago, Andrew came on and did a Toronto recap for us. And this was, in fact, the same Andrew.
Well, it's Andrew from Toronto, who is a friend of the show. But thank you for doing that for us, Andrew.
Yeah.
But, so Seattle, they played Madame Lou's.
And we have some feedback from Josh, who was there. So maybe we should take a listen to that.
Yeah, let's jump into that.
Hey, this is Josh from Colorado, just checking in about the Seattle shows. So my odyssey actually started on Friday night of that weekend. I was still in Brooklyn, and I heard that the band Heavenly was playing its first shows in like 30 years. Went to the show, got the t-shirt. It was enjoyable. They were just so happy that, you know, a few hundred people showed up and knew all their songs. It was really nice. On Saturday morning, I hopped a plane from JFK to Seattle, and we landed a little late, so I drove directly into Seattle for the pub quiz. I ended up on Franz's team with a bunch of new friends. I had no idea about most of the music questions, but near the end, I came through in the bonus round. One of the questions was to list all of Seattle's venues with a capacity between 200 and 400 people. And I knew that Barbosa was on the list, but Numo's was not. So I'm going to take personal credit for our team, the Placemats, winning by a single point. Never mind the other 20 questions I tripped up on. At the pub quiz, I went over to Craig and let him know that I'd seen Heavenly in Brooklyn the night before. So he was interested. You know, we chatted about the band, how well the fans reacted, and how great it was that they're back together, even, you know, with a new drummer. So fast forward to the show itself. I got tickets for two of my best friends, Amy and Brad. It was their first time seeing the band. Wasn't necessarily their genre. They weren't familiar with most of the songs, although I gave them kind of a standard playlist. We got up to the rail, and I had the unmatched experience of seeing first-timers become instantly enamored with the band. Amy remarked that she was trying to watch Craig play guitar to figure out some of the chords he was using, but he didn't actually seem to be playing anything on them. Almost like the guitar was a comfort object for an introvert who was up on stage. But as a veteran of both choral and hardcore music, she also remarked that Mosh Pit Josh singing Stay Positive was a perfect moment. So then came the encore. The band came out and they started to play We Can Get Together. When Craig mentioned Heavenly in the first verse, he turned in my direction, pointed at me and my t-shirt. After the show, we walked out. They were on a high. I saw Tad having a smoke outside the venue. I took them over, introduced my friends to him, and they immediately told him they were never going to miss another show when they were in town. So it was a successful weekend. It was a lot of fun. One of my favorite set lists that I've seen in the couple dozen times that I've seen the band. And I'm now back home in Colorado telling people about it.
Wow. I mean, that was quite a recap. That was, seeing Heavenly doing a concert in Brooklyn and then jumping. That's not a short flight to Seattle, guy. You probably know that, Kevin.
Oh, I know.
And then to get a show in Seattle the next night, that's dedication.
I mean, and just Josh being from Colorado means he went from Colorado to Brooklyn, from Brooklyn to Seattle, and then Seattle back to Colorado. That's some air miles and some frequent flyer points if you ever got some. That might be more than the Holt Steady gets for playing shows.
I'm pretty sure Josh has to fly for work. We actually, Heather and I and Jackson hooked up with him just before he went out to these shows and went to lunch while he was here in New York. I forget why he was in town, but I know he does fly around a bit for work.
And then Gasper, you and Josh have something in common because you both like to take credit for your team's winning pub quizzes. whether or not it's true, I mean, he seems like he gave an answer. You, on the other hand, you know, kind of rode in the background, but you do like to take some credit for your team winning. So,
well, it comes down to, we'll get to this when we get to DC, but like, if you only get one question and your team only wins by 1 point, are you not the champion?
Scored the winning point is what you're saying.
How do you know it wasn't somebody else on your team that gave that 1 point question? So you see, now you're just robbing your own team. It's brutal.
So just going through those sets, it was three great set lists. One of the things I notice is you're starting to see some of the T-Stream songs pop in. They're just kind of dribbling in on these sets, like maybe one or two per, you know, per weekend, but it's getting me psyched for that all T-Stream set for Massive Nights. That's going to be very cool.
Now, I've been discussing with a lot of fans, where did we get that? Or I think it was you, Gasper, that got that all T-Streams. Where did you hear that from?
So Craig said it. I don't remember at which show it was at, and I've seen it talked about a lot. But it seems to be a thing that's definitely going to happen. The only thing that seems unsettled is which night it's going to be. I would imagine it's probably going to be a Wednesday or a Thursday. of Massive Nights, but
yeah, I'm trying to decide if it's going to be Wednesday or Thursday. I think you're definitely right there.
It's got to do with the anniversary of that record.
I mean, one of the other things too that was interesting in Josh's recap was his friend who was trying to figure out what Craig plays during the set. He does have a very unique guitar playing style, and I would never say he's not playing, but when you're in the mix with, you know, Steve and Tad and what they do on their guitars, and right, it's kind of a tough place to fill in. So if you're watching Craig to kind of see how the song goes, you might not really get it. So it was interesting to hear that sort of account of it.
I always kind of looked at it as like Craig is basically doing rhythm guitar in a lot of these songs. Like the weird dynamic with the whole study is you have two lead guitarists who are often playing lead parts at the same time.
Yes.
So,
yeah, I would like to see him pick up an acoustic guitar for maybe the next album or something. See what. Yeah.
Moving on from Seattle, I guess that takes us into DC, where you went.
So, yeah, three nights in D.C. I actually only do two of them. So they played the Atlantis on the 20th of June, and then they played the 930 Club on the 21st and 22nd.
I remember when you used to be a fan and go to every show.
Yeah, what's going on?
It's hard, man. It's hard.
You know?
And then,
here we go.
You know, also, I got to bring Heather and Jackson to D.C., and so we kind of decided that it would be a lot for Jackson to do three. And also we had to pull him out of school. So we thought it was best to just hang out for the two shows. So being that I missed the Atlanta show on June 20th, D.E. Pappenfuse did a really nice recap, which we're going to play for you. But he asked that it not be his audio clip. We're going to try out a new feature. We have an AI that we've put together, and they're going to be characters on the show. So this is AI Gideon reading D.E. Pappenfuse.
That's very on the nose. All right, let's listen to what AI Gideon has to say.
Technical difficulties with the sound system last night, which caused the boys to take a 15-minute let's fix this intermission after they had only played a couple of songs, might have seemed a touch inauspicious as the constructive summer D.C. residency kicked off at the newly opened Bout as Big as a Bandbox venue, the Atlantis, a red-headed stepchild of its neighbor venue, the 930 Club. Yet the guys, led by a resilient Craig and stoic Tad, stormed back shortly after the correct plugs got plugged in or whatever, and tore into the aptly named Ascension Blues, a track from Heaven Is Whenever. The show must go on, and it did with Verve as the fellas, with a guest appearance from Mosh Pit Josh, which actually featured the only inadequate audio of the remaining 100 minutes, rolled through 25 songs. It was all good, but I especially enjoyed Heavy Covenant, which featured a very nice Franz Craig moment and a fantastic main set closing Oaks, which was so substantial that it made me forget that slapped actress got skipped Thursday night. See you all tonight. I bet the sound at 9:30 will not require an emergency let's fix it intermission. But if it does, that's just the price of progress. Thumbs up and stay positive, everybody. Attending the Hold Steady with David Groh and two others at the Atlantis.
Nice job, Gideon.
Yeah, and thanks to D.E. Pappenfuse for letting us use that. He always posts the best recaps on the positive posting group. We're fortunate to be able to feature that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and listening and looking at the set list from that night, it looks like the band only got three songs in before they realized something was wrong audio-wise before they kind of took a break. And, like, you know, it seems like it happened after You Can Make Him Like You, which is sort of an interesting song because so much kind of goes on a little bit in that tune where it's like right away they knew, hey, we need a break here. And then interesting that it was Stay Positive where the next thing happens, which if I had to guess, maybe it was Josh's mic wasn't sort of set up properly but it's sound issues happen.
That created quite the stir too, because I think it hung them up for a bit. It was a fairly early ending of that show, and it made the show go like pretty late, which is another reason we were kind of glad that we didn't have Jackson at that show. That might have been too much. So, yeah, just taking a look at that set list, that's another one where there was a couple of songs we haven't heard for a bit. Ascension Blues. I don't know if that's a song that you guys have heard them do. Like, I think I've only ever seen them do it twice.
I don't think I've ever heard it. Yeah.
Right. That's a B-side off of Hurricane J. It's not even on Heaven Is Whatever. So it's kind of cool to get that.
I was just going to say, you know, that's the first technical difficulties we've ever talked about, I think, on this podcast for how many shows they do. And then you remember what Craig said in the book. He goes, once you start moving amps around the country,
right,
weird stuff can happen. So that's the, you know, they had that one rain delay. Do you remember what show that was at, the rain delay? But
Atlanta, wasn't it?
Atlanta last time?
I think it was Atlanta last year. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, but that isn't something that you see very often, which is surprising with the amount of shows that they play.
So then we get to the shows you actually did get to go with. And did you take Jackson to both shows?
So we took Jackson to Night 3 and the sound check.
Okay.
My part of the weekend kicks off actually with the pub quiz, which I got to go to. Mosh Pit Josh is moderating them here in the States right now. I don't know if it's going to stay that way. He did a great job. So I had a pretty stacked team because just having Craig on the team, he's extremely musically knowledgeable. And then also Cammy was on the team and we had a bunch of people, they all did very well. I did not do so well. I did contribute a little bit more this time around than the last time because I had more questions that were familiar to me, but definitely was not the stud of the team. However, I will say that we did win. So the Hood Rat Recap is 2 for 2 at pub quizzes.
But should we say Craig carried you on this one?
He definitely was a major part of it.
Because I thought Tad carried you in London. So I feel like thankfully you get on teams that
have smart
pull
guys.
You through. By yeah. I mean, we'll keep it real for the listeners that the Hood Rat Recap is not the brightest, but we do know which teams to get on to win.
I actually had Jeff was also on the team, who came in handy again. That's the guy who got dubbed Mega Jeff in England because he knew all of the crazy metal bands off the covers. So this was a similar type question. Basically, they gave you a list of band names, some of which I knew as metal bands, some of which I've never heard of, and it was where are they from? And I think we got like 8 out of 10 on that one, which was probably what put us over the top because I don't think everybody got as many as we did in that one category. But from there, then I went to the first night at the 9:30 Club. And as always, great set. Pretty much it was a hit set. We didn't really get anything from T-Streams, but that was still awesome.
We got on with the business, number 5.
We got on with the business. And Mike, to point out, Party Pit, they've definitely listened to you. I haven't seen Party Pit come later than 5 since we've been talking about this. Party Pit played in 4.
I want to hear it in encore before I die.
Can we make note, like reference to the fact that Hot Soft Light is written as Host Soft Light on the set list and what they posted? And is this a version of the song that I am unaware of? Did they change it? Or is that just the greatest typo in set list history?
It's a typo, for okay. sure.
They do have typos from time to time.
I don't always notice them, but I did notice Host Soft Light. And I'm like, man, maybe this is a remix that I am unaware of.
And then so going into night 2, we started that day off with, after some sightseeing and seeing the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Monument with Jackson, we went to the soundcheck party, which was also at the 9:30 Club. That pretty much ran the way they do here in New York. We had a moderator from the Washington Post. They played some songs in between, like definitely a standout moment. It was Arms and Hearts being played, which is another one you don't get very often. And I'm kind of leading to a point with all this, with the T-Streams thing and the rare songs off of Heaven Is Whatever and all that, is a lot of us have been looking for $40 to be played. That's one of the songs that I've never heard played live. I know I'm talking to a number of other people who've never heard played live. And I realized driving around listening to a playlist the other day that $40 is technically an outtake off of T-Streams, or at least it's credited as an outtake off of T-Streams because they added as a bonus the last time they reissued T-Streams. So I'm kind of curious if we might finally get that at some point between now and Massive Nights.
I will say I also noticed about the soundcheck party is you got Grand Junction and Sixers. So you got two from the Price of Progress out of the seven they played. Whereas looking at that night, I think you only got one. Am I seeing that right?
Yeah. So the songs they play at soundcheck, it's not really a true soundcheck. It's not necessarily a song they're practicing for that night. Sometimes it can be, but it's really kind of become its own thing, I feel. Because there is a sound check prior to the sound check party. They do like a legit sound check. And if you want to know what they're playing that night, like the trick is go stand outside the door. You can hear them. but from that night, some of the great songs, Don't Let Me Explode, which is not as rare, but like always really welcome when we do get it. Sweet Part of the City is a personal favorite of mine. Kev, they played We Can Get Together as part of the encore.
I saw that. And I was going to say, I noticed Hood Rat was in the set list, so I was curious how the confetti game was.
Oh, good. Thanks for bringing that up. So much like, I believe it was Seattle, there was a battle to bring confetti into DC. They were kind of really strict about it. At one point, there was a bag of confetti tacked to the wall with a big sign that said no confetti. Like they took it. It's like they took a scalp. So like the first night the confetti was kind of weak, not, you know, usually what we get in, but then of course it becomes a challenge. And so you can see if you pop into the positive posting group for night two, like the confetti was extra night two.
We'll show you 9:30 Club.
I've talked to a few people that were like Mike from Roanoke and a couple of people were smuggling it in their shoes. He was like, yeah, this was really uncomfortable walking around with this confetti in my shoes.
Some sweet stuff stuffed into their socks. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, exactly. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure I was talking to Ella and I think she had them in her socks and they found them. So
wow. Wow, that's a good security check if they patted her down and found confetti in her socks. Excuse me, miss. Shoes off. Take socks.
Pulled right from the lyrics right there. We ended off that weekend basically at a place I'm pretty sure was called Ice Bar, which is where everybody seemed to turn out. This is, you know, bar up the block. Kind of cool spot with like some picnic tables in an indoor spot up front and, you know, regular bar in the back. And Craig made it out both nights and actually hung out with us a good portion of the last night. I think we sat at a table for about an hour, a bunch of us talking, and that was very cool. Talked a lot of baseball, so I was a little out of my element with that.
That's not good for you.
But a lot of faces at that show. I saw Dallas out there. I saw Ella. We saw Mike from Roanoke. Buddy was there. And just a cast of people. It was definitely a good weekend. But that's going to bring us to the next show, which is Evanston, Illinois, which, Mike, this is all you. How was that?
Yeah, this is my league. I thought it'd be best if I hung around the upper Midwest, and my pro officer second that notion. So yeah, I had a meeting, Evanston. I made the second show 9:30, and I had a meeting with my daughter back in the cities, and I drove there. So the only thing I hate worse than being in a hurry is being in a hurry for 7 hours. And I was in a hurry for 7 hours trying to get there. And I got my car parked at the hotel, and then I did it right. I guess my hotel, and we'll talk about this, it was only like 5 blocks from the show. So I ate, parked my car, and got there just in time for the late show at 9:30. And it looked like they played a very similar set to the early show. I talked to one fan in Evanston, and they made a prediction before the show, and their prediction became 100% true. So let's listen to that.
What's your name and where are you from?
My name's John from New Jersey.
And so have you been to a storyteller show before?
Kind of. Not exactly this way, but I did go to one benefit they did at City Winery, which was similar.
Okay. So what are you hoping to hear tonight?
Just, if it's anything like the first one, just fun stuff that I don't expect to hear at a normal show. And that's, you know, there's enough time at Summerfest or whatever to hear the loud rockers, but let's hear some weird stuff tonight.
All right. I think you'll be in luck tonight. All right. Thank you. Good evening.
So yeah, looking at the set list, we did hear some, we heard some great different stuff. It started out with Sweet Part. We got Only Thing as the second song. So there we are getting Teeth Dreams, right, as the second song. Yeah, so they kind of do a little storytellers set, you know, kind of like they had on VH1 back in the old days. So they did Esther, and Craig asked, he said that was the first song they wrote after they were doing cover, after they got back together with Franz, the 3.0 version. And he said they were doing a cover song for, I think it was Styx. And he goes, we're putting so much work into this, let's just write a song. And then he asked Franz what he was thinking of when he wrote this song. And Franz says they didn't have like a swinging yacht rock song. And then Craig goes, I've never thought about this song like being a yacht rock song at all. So it was Esther, and they played a really great version of Esther. It was probably the best version I've ever heard them play. I should say they were all sitting down during this. So it was kind of a different feel to it. It was a different set. So at one point for Stuck Between Stations, they didn't know how to, you know, they wanted to change the setup a little. They had Tad play on the guitar. He played Franz's parts, and then Franz on the keyboard played Tad's parts. So they kind of flip flopped. So that was
that's
really
pretty cool.
Yeah. One time we had a trivia question on here where we asked what character did they think was not always a female?
No, so the question we asked was what character from A Song and Hold Steady lore is possibly trans? Was the way we asked the question.
Yeah. And Craig at one time had said he didn't know if Esther was always a female the whole time. And then the other trivia question we asked was what cities do they sing about that they've never been to? Yeah, we would have accepted Cheyenne Sunrise, but it was also Modesto we would have accepted. And they played that right after, two songs after Esther. So it's kind of funny that we got those two trivia questions answered right away there.
Nice.
So Mike, you drove 7.5 hours for that show? Is that what you said?
It was 6.5 hours. Yeah. I was rushing for 7.5 hours because I had my daughter's meeting, and then right. I had to park the car, get checked into the hotel, and luckily there's no lines. Yes.
So just curious, why was this show only 13 songs that night? Usually they do 25, and it just seems like both sets that night were shorter. Was that announced in advance? Did you know that going in, or did you think it was going to be a full show?
No, I knew it was going to be, I think it ended up being an hour, I believe. I knew it was going to be shorter because they talk in between. It's like the storytellers from VH1.
Mm-hmm.
So this is similar to like a soundcheck party type thing, only not as much like a moderator and.
Yeah, there's no questions from the crowd. They just kind of Craig does most of the talking. They just kind of tells about something of the story, or he'll ask somebody in the band something about what do they know about this song, and then they'll tell a little.
Pretty cool though. Like you probably got some good stories out of that.
Yeah, like another thing he said about Modesto, he said he heard Jeremy Renner, you know, Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm.
He heard him in an interview just recently, and he's from Modesto, and I guess Jeremy Renner said Modesto's not that sweet in the interview. So so they must know about the song. The residents of Modesto must know about the song or something.
Cool.
So we got Perdido. Like I said, they switched spots on stations. They were sitting down. I just loved it. We got Slight Discomfort again. And then they ended, you know, they ended on Charlemagne. There was no encore. So it was kind of neat ending on Charlemagne. We got a very beatboxy. I thought the whole night kind of had a yacht rock kind of beatboxy feel to it. I really enjoyed it.
Both the early show and the late show sets seem to be really cool. And like, not to glaze over it, you mentioned Slight Discomfort. That's a song that a buddy of mine, Mike, who lives out in California, like messages me all the time going like, what's it going to take to get them to play this song? And I'm kind of hoping they put out a Bandcamp version of this show, because I haven't seen Slight Discomfort since the record came out. I think I may have only ever seen them do it once, but that's such an awesome song to get. It's a rare one, and it's one I wish they did play more. And just the style that they were playing, I saw in the Facebook group, like what you're talking about with that kind of loungy, I guess I would say. I know you're calling it like yacht rock, but there was more of a lounge feel to it.
Yeah.
And like that must have been really cool to get like versions of those songs as just after hearing them as we have for all these years. Like it's kind of cool to see a different take on it.
So it plays really well against the next night when I seen him in Milwaukee. The juxtaposition of it, the two, is just amazing that the same band did those two same shows.
I think we have a clip of Charlemagne, don't we, that we could check out? Somebody posted one?
Yeah, let's play it.
So yeah, it was like that all night. I mean, it just, I guess you're right. That is a loungy, jazzy sound, and it really worked for me. I loved it.
Yeah. I think it's interesting too. When you watch the clip, you see like Craig's in like a suit, like he's kind of glammed up. He's got a suit on with like an open button down shirt. Like he's almost like a Vegas lounge chair.
Right. And they're like kind of sitting around and
right. Just like,
so with his nice suit, he was wearing an airbrushed baseball hat and it had the Minnesota Gophers on it.
Of course.
And because he walked by somebody that had all these sports, the street vendor had all these sports teams on hats, and he goes, there's no Minnesota team. So he left and he came back the next day and the Gophers one was there. And he goes, I'll buy that one. And he goes, yeah, a couple guys just asked about why there's no Minnesota teams. And Craig had surmised that it was probably Hold Steady fans that had done that. When he showed the hat to his girlfriend, she said, but that's not for wearing, right? Because it was pretty, it was pretty gaudy, yeah.
All right. Now that takes us to Milwaukee, which is a completely different type of show that you went to. Tell us a bit about Milwaukee. Attention, but the walls are so gray, I couldn't pay attention. I let your gospel and move me to tears, but I couldn't find the hate and I couldn't find the fear. I met your savior, I knelt at his feet, and he took my temp books and he went down the street. I tried to believe all the things that you said, but my flesh and heart dying are already dead. Raise a toast, this ain't so strong.
Well, that was part of Summerfest, right, Mike?
It was part of Summerfest, which, you know, so I had to drive an hour back towards my house to get to this. It was about 90 minutes away from Evanston. Drive-wise, I went to a little park. I tried to go to this little atrium park where you see all these cool sculptures, but it was like 95 degrees that day, so I just kind of drove through with my air conditioning on. So it was like a 90-minute drive back to Milwaukee, and I got to Summerfest kind of early. And it's a great to walk around. They have some just massive stages down there. It's like a, you know, they have this every year. So it's some of the stages I think are kind of semi-permanent. And it's just a great venue. It's kind of like going to a state fair. If all the state fair was all about music, it's all these stages set up everywhere. So I got there early, guys, and the Dandy Warhols were on the stage. They kind of had a Minnesota theme going. They played the Dandy Warhols, the Hold Steady, the Afghan Whigs. And the Dandy Warhols, I didn't know it was them when I showed up, and the lead singer kind of looks like Iggy Pop a little bit, except he's wearing a shirt. So I was like, come on, Iggy Pop, play some of your hits. And the crowd did not take kindly to that. They didn't understand my sense of humor. So, and they quickly corrected me and told me it was the Dandy Warhols. And they have a very, I guess one of their songs is called Ride. I almost thought it was Ride for a while because they kind of had that dream quality, you know, guitars playing on. My friend Alex, who he's a big Ride fan, took me to a Ride concert one time. He used to have a great Bruce Springsteen podcast. But I think they sounded like Ride. So I got there and they sounded pretty good. Even though I was making the crowd mad, but then the Hold Steady took the stage. And I'm telling you guys, you know, the night before we kind of heard that clip of what they sounded like the night before as they were sitting down. So they were, of course, this was a normal set. It was a music fest set. So we didn't have an encore or anything. They fit 15 songs into an hour. And they were just like blowing. I think they were capsizing some boats on the river because they just blew this show out. And I wanted to make one point. So they have they played Sideways Skull, they played Entitlement Crew, and they played Family Farm. What do those songs have in common to you guys? Do you guys see the commonality in those songs?
Sideways Skull, Entitlement Crew, and Family Farm. Well, two of them are on Open Door Policy. One of them is not.
They're all songs with two-word titles. Thank you, I win.
So Kevin kind of wins. No, they're not all on the same. They were all the first releases. So Sideways Skull was the first release of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So and then you see there's even more. There's like Hood Rat, which would have been the first release of that album. And then there's it was just a bunch of, I guess what my point is, it's just the hits. They really played the hits. Yeah. They did play Carlos, and they played. So if you listen to the show enough, you know, I kind of argue with the other two guys. They think that Carlos brings the show down for the crowd a little bit. They did play a faster. It almost sounded like more like a regular Hold Steady song. They played it a little bit quicker, a little quicker tempo, and it didn't stand out as much. And I disagree. I think it always goes over great with the crowd, and it went over great with the crowd this time. So, awesome. Yeah. And then they didn't play an encore, but they did end on Killer Parties.
Right.
It was Hood Rat, Southtown, and Killer Parties were the last three songs. Like I said, they just rocked it out. It was crazy after hearing the show the night before, just that it was the same band doing two totally different sounds in such a great dynamic way both nights.
Yeah, just looking at the set list, like it looks like they don't even take a break until, what is that, 8-9 songs in, they get to Load I'm Discouraged, which is pretty much the only kind of low-key song that they're playing. Song,
yeah,
I mean, The Weekenders, too, follows that, but even that kind of gets upbeat towards the end. This is a pretty hard-hitting set, man. That must have been a good one. And
yeah, and like David, I was with David Groh. I was with him at both these shows. And like he said, he was really blown away by how great the sound sounded. Because like he said, at a music fest, it doesn't always, you know, they don't always have time to get it all lined. It's not your own people all the time. Kevin, you would know more about this, but it sounded, the mix was perfect. This was one of the best mixes. You know, the kids on the net said the show sounded great. is what I'm saying.
Those kids know what they're talking about. And the thing about Summerfest is, they've been doing it for so long that they have it. But yeah, generally at festivals, bands get a line check. The band usually doesn't even get on stage. The crew kind of sets it up, and then it's a sort of throw and go because you got gates open, you got fans there early. A lot of times they start at noon or one, and just it's band after band after band. So formal sound checks to really dial in isn't necessarily there. Like, and you know, I will say every time we see the Hold Steady, they sound great. So that's a credit to their crew, which probably doesn't get enough credit for how hard they work to keep the band sounding great. But when you say it at a festival like Summerfest that they really sounded great, and you know, the kids on the interweb said the same thing, then you know, shout out to the Hold Steady crew, because that's not an easy gig by any means.
Yeah. And to tag on to, you mentioned David, and I totally forgot to mention this during our DC segment there. So David was in DC as well, and we got to hook up. We actually had a nice lunch together, but a weird part about DC, and I don't know if this is just a thing that happened that day or all the time, but like the restaurants and bars around the 9:30 club did not open until 5 o'clock, and doors for the pub quiz were at 6. So we kind of went down there early, figured we're going to get a bite to eat and whatever. And I was going to try to meet up with someone, and I just met up with David just walking down some street in DC, and the two of us went on this trek to try to find a place to eat. It took a while. So I don't know if that's a thing. I don't know if either of you have been to DC and
no.
What their rules about drinking are or whatever, but like, I totally forgot to mention that, but it was, it cracked.
No, interesting. I just saw DC now has a curfew. So if you're under 18, you have to be home by midnight. Not that I think that plays into why you can't find a restaurant, but just tells you a lot about that town to begin with.
And before we get off Milwaukee, we have a fan reaction to that too, right?
We do. Hold on. I will play that. Let's check out what the fans had to say.
This was a fun couple.
Okay, so we just saw the Milwaukee, Summerfest. What's your name and where are you from?
Laura, I'm from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
You're from Duluth, Minnesota.
I live in Duluth, Minnesota.
Well, all right. That's Duluth. Yeah. I don't think they've ever played Duluth,
so
have they?
My husband. 15 years ago, he took me to a Hold Steady show at House of Blues in Chicago.
Ooh, good.
And we danced so hard, the security people put us up in a top booth because we were so destructive.
Oh.
So
we got a private box.
We danced our asses off so much that we got elevated.
You guys are hardcore fans then. What did you think of this show?
Amazing. Well, we used to live in Brooklyn. So we've been to all their shows.
Awesome. All right, guys. Drive home safe. Thank you so much.
What a fun couple
it
was.
That clip. I know. I have a lot to say about that clip.
Go for it.
No, I mean, I love our fans, and I love our fans when they drink, because really,
I mean, she's having a good time.
She's having a great time at the show. People do talk about alcohol in the Hold Steady, and when you don't know what city you live in.
She didn't even get the state right, yeah.
Thank God her husband was there, because he must have been the driver, because that would have been a long trip home going to the wrong city.
So that pretty much wraps up our constructive summer coverage, at least thus far. There are a couple more shows coming as part of this. Mike, you're actually going to one of them on July 20th, which is very soon, Minnesota Yacht Club. That is part of a Yacht Rock show, or what's the story with that?
No, it's just there's a yacht club down there. I know it makes me think of Yacht Rock. They sent me a cool... I already got a cool bracelet that they admission bracelet they already sent me. It looks kind of cool, so I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully, it's not flooded out. I haven't heard them talking about it lately, so it's making me kind of nervous that there's a slight chance it might get canceled. But
I hope you get to get to that show. And speaking of Yacht Rock, Kevin half jokingly brought up we should do a Meatloaf to the Billy Joel of Yacht Rock bands. And I don't know how I feel about that, but maybe
I'm Yacht Rock Mike. I mean, I
love Yacht Rock. I know a bunch of rock metal guys that love Yacht Rock. Gasper does not appreciate the genius behind Yacht Rock. So if we could do an episode where we just school him and we could find lyrics that tie to Hold Steady lyrics and just really make him appreciate the Yacht Rockness.
I can do like Hold Steady, Meatloaf to Billy Joel. I can do Yacht Rock. I can do rap. We can do every genre.
I think we should put it to a
classic
vote.
Rock.
I think that should be your next poll on our Facebook is should we do a Yacht Rock Meatloaf to the Billy Joel segment and see what the fans think?
And the answer is yes.
You know what? I will speak for our fans. They will say yes. Beth, Kat, whoever, if you're listening, vote yes right now so we can school the King of Queens on the genius of Yacht Rock.
All right. And then so the rest of Constructive Summer is Denver, August 22nd through the 24th at the Bluebird. Atlanta, October 3rd through the 5th at Variety Playhouse in Athens, and there's an early show at the Earl. And if anyone goes to those shows and would like us to do a kind of second part of this Constructive Summer, feel free to send us some clips talking about the show. You could do a write-up like DE did, or we'll have you on the show. Just get in touch with us through the email, and we'd love to have you on to talk about the shows you were at. The only other show to bring up that is scheduled is that Jesse Malin benefit at the Beacon Theater December 2nd, which I don't have tickets for yet. I haven't quite decided.
Jeez.
I go back and forth on that because I know it's going to be a cool show. It's for a great cause and all that. But like, I also know they're going to play like two songs.
So the interesting thing about that is, where is that going to fall with Massive Nights? So I guess that would be right before Massive Nights
is always the week after Thanksgiving.
I think it's the 4th to the 8th of December.
Okay, yeah, because usually sometimes it's November, but I know Thanksgiving is late this month. So like it's the 28th. So Massive Nights would be after. So I guess they'd play the Malin benefit and then 2 days later start Massive Nights.
Right. So okay. We'll see. I am on vacation, so there's a possibility. And
when do those, I'm asking for myself, when do the Massive Night tickets usually go on sale, or have they gone on sale and I missed it?
They have not gone on sale yet. We should be hearing about that soon. I feel like right about now is usually when the announcement comes out, so I wouldn't be surprised if we see something next week or the week after, as far as like a fan pre-sale.
I got to check my calendar because there's a chance I'm going to have to be on the road.
Oh, I hope you don't miss it.
I mean, if anything, I would miss the Wednesday and the Thursday, but I would be back in time for Friday, Saturday.
All right.
Which is usually not my go-to days, but we'll make an exception.
If you come Saturday, then you know the rule. You have to come with me to Lake Street afterwards. Oh, that makes for an interesting following morning.
I don't know if I can do that. I'm old.
We are our only saviors. We're going to build something that summer.
So, guys, I put a post on the Facebook group page asking people, you know, what's their shows are they planning on going and coming up to, or what's their favorite show of all time? And we got two submissions here. It was text submission, so we're going to use Lizzie answered first, and we're going to use AI Holly to answer for Lizzie.
My fave show, hands down, was the first time I saw them in Sir Wait. That cemented my love. Next is a tie between my first London Weekender and Nashville 2019, where each separate time, I made and maintained friends with some really wonderful folks. I didn't do any of that at my first few shows. Oh, and ATL it is. I'd love to do them all, but that's the one nearest to me that I can fit in my schedule.
I don't want to say nothing, but AI Holly sounds really attractive.
It's like a romance novel.
I mean, seriously, like, no wonder why Gideon and Charlemagne were all up on her shit. Because listen to that voice.
Sounds like those old 900 numbers you used to call.
You know what? I used to pay $1.99 a minute to hear stuff like that. Now I get it for free. Thanks, Lizzie, for the submission.
Yeah, Lizzie did a great job with that submission. It wasn't her voice. It was AI Holly.
AI Holly, yeah.
Okay, and then we have one more. And this one is from John from Denmark.
Oh, and this is AI Charlemagne. See,
this is AI Charlemagne.
See
how
we did? See what we're doing there?
See what we're doing there? Everybody lives at home. You see what we got? We got our characters.
My favorite is probably my first show, which was at South by Southwest in 2009. I'd been a fan since 2005, but since they don't ever play here in Denmark, this was my first chance to see them live. Club de Ville was packed, and it was an incredibly joyous event. The show is actually available online, so I've relived it a couple of times.
Wow. I do think it's funny that you gave Charlemagne an accent, because that's how fancy he is.
They didn't have a Denmark accent, but...
Denmark? See, you mean didn't. Danish? I didn't have that Denmark accent.
See, they don't tell you in the whole study songs that Charlemagne really moved to Minnesota from the UK.
Knew it.
And I'm still wearing my Charlemagne baseball jersey to the shows, and people are just grabbing me out of the crowd and telling me how much they love it.
There you go. Oh, man. Well, that was fun. And you know what? Thanks, people, for the submissions. Really appreciate the fan engagement and interaction. Those messages, even though you didn't want to read them, and Holly and Charlemagne took care of them for us. That's the reason why we do what we do. So, you know, if you like what we do, give us a like, give us a follow, because honestly, we love doing it and we love sharing it with you. And this was really a fun episode. And we know it's been a couple of weeks, but we kind of had a lot to talk about on this one.
Yeah. And if you're looking for us on the socials, or if you're looking for our email address, or even just past episodes, the best place to find those is our Linktree, which can be found at linktr.ee/thehoodratrecap. And feel free to send us an email right there with your submissions to talk about shows or anything. Ask us a question, and we'll be happy to include you. And like we said, if you'd like to be on the show, send us a message there, and we'd love to have you on.
Or a speak pipe.
Yeah, there is another way to send us a message. And Mike, why don't you tell us about that?
So in the show notes, I'm going to put a link where you can leave us a voicemail, and let's keep them coming, folks. We want to hear about your favorite show that you've ever been to, or a funny hold steady story that you have going to a show. Just leave it. And if you're shy, you can just, like I said, like Gasper said, you can send us a note on the show socials, and we'll have a creepy AI voice read you.
AI Holly's my new favorite voice.
AI Holly's kind of hot, though. Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us. I'm Gasper. That's Mike. That's Kevin. That was AI Holly, Charlemagne, and Gideon, and us guys, and all you guys and gals. We are all the Hood Rat Recap.
Best bar band in the land, man. This is the Hood Rat Recap, and we are back. We are your steady stream of the unified scene, all the news and reviews. Yeah, hold on.
Take that again.
The Hood Rap Recap.
Let's get the name of the podcast right.
This is the Hood Rap Recap. We're rapping.
You called this the Hood Rap Recap.
I mean,
Jesus.
Can we beatbox this motherfucker?
Was it too much volume or what?
No, hey, if you would have said it right, it would have been perfect.
All right.